get to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of, well, it was supposed to be the 22nd. Now it's the 25th.
We're behind.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? Life gets busy, man.
Well, you've been working. Here's the thing that I love. I listen to the Mom Show because it's Lindsay, throw your hands up in the air.
What up?
And I was listening to the Mom Show, and you're like, oh, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just scream at the radio. I'm like, no, you're not.
Well,
no, you are not. I hear you on the radio all the time, and you're there because you guys do it live. I'm like, you're not a stay-at-home mom.
I know. I should really clarify. I do work part-time, essentially.
Yeah. No, not essentially.
Well,
you do work part-time.
Well,
at least 20 hours a week.
Yeah. It usually averages about that.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. My official title at KSL is an on-call employee, so I don't even have part-time status with them, but the hours that I'm working does
turn
into...
Yeah, they promise you anything. You could go a couple of weeks without doing anything and then work for, you know, a month straight.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why my schedule's all over the place. It's never consistent. I don't have a 9-to-5 gig. I don't even have a 3-to-7 gig.
Yeah.
But I really should claim that I work part-time.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, because in my mind, my job is staying home and then I work when I can.
Right.
But it's turned into I work a lot more than
I just thought that
I
was
thought.
Funny.
Yeah.
It was sort of a way to... for me to flatter you and let you know that I listened to the Mom Show.
Oh, well, thank you. What episode did you listen to? Did you like it?
I don't know. It's all mom stuff.
Yeah, right?
I go, I'm listening for support. I'm not a lady.
I appreciate that.
No, I most of the time I listen and go, that person's been on the Cultural Hall before.
Right?
We
just tap into the same people.
I know who that is.
Yep.
So great job. Way to
go.
Hey,
thanks, man. Yeah, I love doing the show.
I
did the news today.
Having mic troubles with the news today.
Oh, did you hear that break?
Yes.
Okay, so the mics at KSL, like they have, the mics where we are right now have,
like an arm.
Just one microphone on it.
Mm-hmm.
The KSL mics have two. They're like back to back, if you can picture that.
Okay.
So there's like one mic you're talking into and then another mic behind. So sometimes the mic gets turned around and you...
Yeah, because I listen to this.
Don't know
right
it.
Now we go to Lindsay Ayres.
Here. The President
Lindsay,
Obama.
Turn the microphone on. That's what I yelled.
No. What? The microphone was on. It was that it was turned around. So
hanging out with me and listening to radio, though, is it... I think it's got to probably be a pretty entertaining thing for people, but...
Well, you got to know that we're human, right? And we're like live human beings reporting the news, so stuff's going to happen.
Sure.
And
that's not the right audio there.
Yeah, exactly. That, and I have to cover myself all the time. I'm like, that's the wrong button there. That happened.
Don't pay attention to that. I also love... you don't do it because you're not in the position to do it, but I love the commentary from some folks.
Yeah.
Where I just scream and go, is it? Is that so surprising?
Are you talking about like the opinion shows or when they comment on the news?
Like when they comment on the news, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? It's like, today with the big story was that the guy up in Montana, he body slammed the reporter.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that he would do that? Because it's news and you just said it, you know.
That is kind of a shocking story, though.
Can you believe that that would happen?
Yeah.
Yes, I can believe it would happen because you're a news station that just told me it happened. If you didn't tell me, I don't know that I could believe it because it hadn't happened. But yes, I can.
Well,
that's a poor example, but I really do. Like people who ride with me, because I insist if I'm driving that I get to pick the radio, and I'll listen to... like in the middle of the state of Utah, like small town radio, and they'll be like, this is by Jack's Feed and Seed.
Well, you and I are in the same industry, right? So I do the same thing. I listen to the radio in the car almost exclusively, and I listen for the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the music stations, when the talking comes on, I turn it up. And when the music comes on, I change the channel to find more talking.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do,
and
that's
songs.
What I'm into. Yeah.
So what is new? What is new with you, Lindsay? Throw your hands up in the ayurts.
You know.
Part-time worker,
mom life, and working. Really, that's what I do.
You can basically leave her a home now, though, right? She's like 2 and a something.
She's 2 and a half, yeah. So she pretty much fends for herself, let's be honest.
And now you have to get to the point where in Mormon time, it's time for another if you're going to do it, right?
Dude, I've been wanting to do a Mom Show episode about this very thing. Like, what goes into your decision to have another kid? I know it's very personal. off for everybody?
The condom breaks.
The pill runs out.
It won't happen one time.
Dang it. But for me, I'm in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. It's always on the radar.
What's the full thing? Like when people are like, how many do you want? Are you like...
You know what? I'm really take it a kid at a time.
Okay.
The first one for me was just so shocking
I had
the postpartum issues. Yeah, I'm still all over the place. Like, I feel
Sure, you're a part-time.
I feel like I just I want to know that I'm really ready when I have the next one. You know, I want to be confident and I want to.
But like, if all that doesn't play into it, you're like a 3-kid person.
I'm gonna get to 2, and then I'm gonna see how I feel.
It's so funny because being single now and having literally just gotten off the phone with my ex-wife, which is weird.
Cray, cray.
Butt dial. It's interesting to me because people are like, you will make such a great dad. I'm like, you have no idea how much I hate yelling.
Their yelling. I thought you meant your yelling.
Well, and my yelling.
Your yelling at your children.
The anxiety. I was an anxious parent like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Welcome to my life, man.
Yeah. Different, I think, than your anxious, right?
I guess we can compare anxiousness if you want to.
No, mine was the nighttime anxiousness where I would just lay stiff in bed going, am I doing this right?
Spinning, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
That's kind of how I feel like motherhood has turned out for me. You're just in a constant state of like, am I doing this right? Like, is this okay? And at the end of the day, yes, you are doing it right because you're doing it.
Right.
Like, that's the point.
You don't give up. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You let your kids know it's all right to fail. You let your kids know that you love them no matter what, and you don't allow them to get abused. There.
Seriously, I think that's all the rules there should be.
So
really.
Where I was getting with that is people have been like, oh, yeah, well, you want to get married again? I'm like, not today.
Why do we ask these things, though? Like,
well, no, I appreciate it. Because, I mean, it causes me to think, because it's not just a flippant thing to me. Like,
right.
Do you want to get married? And it's like, well, you know what? If I feel like it could be the grounds for a great relationship that would make my life better, yes, you bet. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, well, you'd be a great dad. You certainly want to have kids, don't you? You know, are kids a thing? And I'm like, yeah, here's how I feel about kids. When I married my ex-wife, I didn't want kids. Right. And having the one kid, which we had, was tremendously overwhelming to go from 0 to 12-year-old overnight. And a homeowner and, you know, all the other things that were really, really difficult about that. Well, it wasn't probably until like 3 years into the marriage that I was like, yeah, a kid would be a thing that I would like and would welcome into this. Now, gratefully, we didn't do that because otherwise now we'd have to do that whole thing, which I don't understand how people do. Still having to deal with your ex-spouse on that frequent of occasion, you know, every other weekend and one night a week. It's like... I mean, maybe good for you, people who do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that.
I get too emotional about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So people are like, "Yeah, do you want to have one?" And I'm like, "You know what? I don't know. Let me find someone that I'm going to be with, and if we decide that that's a thing, then yeah."
And there's nobody that knows better than you and that person. And my belief is God on when it's time or who, how to have children and how many to have.
You know how God doesn't change that.
I do know how, but yeah. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I
it's completely up to you. It's your decision.
Well, because the other thing is now for me, as I just sort of randomly muse about it, is I'm going to be old dad. Right?
Right. Is that a problem for you?
Yeah. I'm tired already. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like, I
hear you.
I think there is something too. I mean, you're younger than me a bit, but in the last 2 years, and maybe it's just lifestyle and all the things I've been doing, but I'll tell you what, I'm tired all the time, and I cannot imagine going on any less sleep than I already do and chasing some little scream box around.
Scream box? Is that what you called a child?
Yeah, because kids, they do that high-pitched scream.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do it.
I put my child in the car today while she was screaming bloody murder.
Bloody murder!
Oh my gosh, she was screaming it so loud and like almost all the way downtown, and it's just like nails on a chalkboard, and all you want to do is yell back, "Stop screaming!" Really, it's because you don't know how to get her to stop screaming, so you're just mad at yourself that you can't get her to stop screaming. Right. And but it's hard, it's rough. And then you don't react the way you want, and then you're mad at yourself because you did that, and then you have to apologize, and you're like, I'll never do that again. And then the next day you do it again.
Wait till they're teenagers and you see observed, and you see observed behavior performed and exhibited in what they do, and you're just like, I am so mad that you do the same thing I do.
Dang it. I hate it even worse because I do it.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. No, having a kid is not for the faint of heart. It does require energy. Even the little things where you're like, I don't want to get up right now and get you milk. Like, I just don't want to. Like, I want you to either get it yourself or like, but you have to, especially as they're toddlers, right? You're like, all right, I'll do it. But you're just like, no, I'm sitting on the couch right now. I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
It's all of those things.
Kids are the worst. And the best.
But beautiful. Yeah.
You're going on a plane anytime soon? You want to open that up?
I'm going to book a trip sometime in the next 6 months.
Where are you
before
going?
The end of the year. Home to Maine.
Okay.
To visit.
Nice.
Yeah. But we just haven't locked down dates.
I think I asked you, but Mama, not Ertz. I can't even remember what your maiden name is.
Mintel.
Mm-hmm. She'd host me, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But
they've got plenty of room at their house. They're empty nesters now. Yeah. And if you want to go to Maine.
But it wouldn't be weird, right? Is I guess what I'm asking.
No.
I really wanted to go to Maine and eat the lobster?
Lobster. Wicked awesome lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% you have a place to stay. And they've got extra bedrooms in their basement. It's a walkout basement.
I wouldn't take up much room.
No.
And I'd be gone during the day because I've never been to that part of the country. But I'm thinking about going and being a leaf peeper this fall.
Leaf peeper?
Yeah.
Like going to see the leaves in Maine.
The leaves in New England.
In New England, yeah, are fantastic.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Spendy to go home? How much am I looking?
You're looking at probably on a good day, you can stay under 400.
Okay. That's not
a
bad.
Person. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you, I don't know, just depending on when it hits, you could get over 500 easily. Yeah.
All right. So. I'm thinking about going with Dad. He's always wanted to be a leaf peeper.
Okay.
And he loves that stuff. Taking a long weekend and going and...
A long weekend is hard. I mean, you're literally flying. It takes a day, right, to get there. Because there is one direct flight. No, there's a direct flight to Boston.
Right.
But not to Maine. So you're still driving 2 hours from there if you're
That's
going
fine.
Up north.
I can do that. It's a day.
Yeah. But it takes a whole day to travel there. And
you spend 3 or 4 days there and you come back. So almost a week, but a long weekend.
Okay. That works. Yeah.
And I'll take Lucy with me just because I love kids on flights.
Just because you deserve a kid on a flight.
Yeah.
For all the times you've said, don't bring your kids on flights.
I get a kid every time I fly.
You deserve it. It's karma, man.
Literally every time.
That's how how it works.
Nope.
Yep.
I don't feel like that should be fair or how it should be.
Nope. You get what you ask for.
Well, you can't always get what you want.
You can't always get what you want. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
And not the way you sang it. Just kidding.
What else is
anything
new?
Anything else new?
No, not really. Life's good.
You look good.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Oh, I had to go to a funeral this morning.
Ugh.
I know. Sorry to bring it down.
That's all right.
A lady in my ward, her husband died suddenly of a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So sad. They have 3 young children, but the service was beautiful and very gospel doctrine centered.
Uh-huh.
So
Spirit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cry? Did they tell you about how funny Dad was?
Yeah, we talked all about how funny he was. And I guess I didn't know him super well, but she was a friend of mine in my ward and just a very strong woman in our ward. Apparently he had this just incredible sense of humor. So they talked all about that. And then both our current bishop and our former bishop spoke and both just gave really cool insights into doctrine. I was interested.
Nice.
It was interesting. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to be backpacking this weekend. I'm going down to Boulder Mountain.
Wow.
With
the GF.
Cold and miserable. Yeah. The GF and Britt from in here.
Oh, fun.
He's coming. And my brother. And my brother's dog.
Super fun.
And I've decided I'm taking church on the road.
Okay.
So I've got my podcast loaded with a couple sessions of General Conference.
Okay.
So Sunday I'm going to do Church of the Mountains.
That's how you do it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think that's how it should be.
Yeah. I think every week.
As long as you get some spirituality on Sunday, right? Can we just do that? Can we change those rules?
I don't know if you've seen it, and it's a little irreverent, and please God, please bless him. But now that the prophet doesn't go to church, there's a meme where it's like, it's a screenshot of the article that says President Monson no longer attending his regular church meetings.
Right.
And then someone has wrote, "Follow the prophet; he knows the way."
That is awesomely irreverent.
Yes,
and I love it.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And my house. I got to go back tonight. I still haven't packed for my backpacking trip tomorrow. We leave at noon. I got to go back to my house and work out all my sprinklers to my garden so that it doesn't burn up while I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then go home and pack. And then work in the morning and then all this stuff.
Okay, but back to the kid conversation. Your life is crazy as it is. So kids would just
like
be like replacing
steroids,
something.
Right? And I don't even have time for a dog. So
yeah, you're going to have to, like, something's going to have to settle, right? You're going to have to be in one place.
Right.
The long hours are going to have to mellow out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, or make her take care of it.
Then there's that. Don't get me started on that.
No, it's not a good idea.
No, it's a partnership, Richie.
Sure.
It's
no, listen, I make the money and she does the stuff.
Or it's a partnership.
That's
you
a partnership.
Can choose.
That is a partnership.
That
and
is.
For some
that
people,
is.
That works.
That is. If you consciously choose it, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
No, I'm absolutely teasing. This is not 1955 Richie T.
Right.
Oh, Richard Thomas.
Oh, Richard.
As it would be.
Oh, tell this story about how you texted me at work one day.
I don't remember.
We were talking about gender issues on KSL News Radio.
Right.
And there was a tweet from Stouffer's Lasagna around Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
That we were talking about whether or not the tweet was sexist.
Yeah, because it was like, moms, or no, spoil your mom, buy her a lasagna or something.
No,
like
it was
that.
Like, give mom the night off from cooking.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Insert mac and cheese. So the host of the night show on KSL News Radio and I were talking about whether or not that tweet was sexist. And I was saying it doesn't necessarily, it still kind of implies the message, even if it didn't mean to, right? It's not that big of a deal, but it still kind of implied the message. And Richie texted to our KSL line, get back in the kitchen or something like that.
Lindsay, why are you at work? Go get back in the kitchen.
And so the best part of that is that one of the producers that was there, I went to look at the text messages after the segment just to see what people were saying. And he's like, don't look at those. He's like, don't look at the text. You're not going to want to read them. And I read through them. And the worst one by far was Richie's.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, come on. Like, I know that guy.
Yeah,
like,
and he's joking.
Yeah, and I know exactly how he's saying it.
Yep.
But if I didn't know you, it wouldn't have been joking. It would have been a really mean text.
And then you would have cried.
Yeah.
Because that's what women do.
Okay.
Did I hurt your feelings?
No, you can't hurt my feelings.
No, I know.
Only
you know
I can hurt my feelings.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I can choose.
It.
I
yeah,
can choose.
You can choose.
No.
Good for you.
Yep.
Given that, then let's see if I can hurt your feelings in the remainder of this episode.
Keep going. Keep going. I can choose.
Let's take a break. I've got, as you can see, just tons of news laid out. Most of them are pretty short stories, but things like stolen, non-existent in life history, statue of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young.
What do you mean non-existent
in life?
I'll
talk about it when we share this story.
Okay.
We've got, is the Old Testament dying?
Oh, boy.
We've got the Paris Temple dedication, and I guess I'll play rugby on Sunday. We'll talk about all of those coming up in the second half of Articles of News.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. You know, I get a lot of emails with questions from customers, and here's one. Dear Dan, I love to do business at your stores, but I have a lot of Apple and PC stuff. It's too bad because I like doing business with local people. I wish there was a way to make all of my gadgets work together. Signed, Scattered. Dear Scattered, Windows, Mac, Android, we can make all of them sync up for you. Your phone, tablet, and PC. They'll all be one big, happy, diverse family. So Scattered, bring in all your Apple and PC stuff. Now that's comfort and peace of mind. Get a brand new PC laptop's desktop for just $799 with a lifetime parts and labor warranty at any PC laptop's location while supplies last. $799, you can't beat that deal. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
I've got a couple of emails that I wanted to share first. Have you listened? Have you been listening to the Cultural Hall recently? Lindsay, throw your hands
forgive
up
me.
In the air.
I work part-time, so yeah. I've got a lot on my plate. And
it feels like just a few minutes ago you were a stay-at-home mom.
I was a stay-at-home mom, but now I work part-time.
This one from Robert. He says, I want to let you know how much I enjoyed the interview with Richard Osler. That was the episode we did last week. He's a bishop of a young single adult ward in the west side of Salt Lake. There was a big popular blog post that he did about
the garments.
People. Yeah, about the garments. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we interviewed him. He says, it really touched me because in my current calling, I'm in the branch presidency of a YSA branch in South Florida. We have quite a diverse group here, and they are at different points in their lives as far as works, education, leaving home, time in the church, etc. We have a great group of YSAs, and I've enjoyed getting to know them. I really like how Brother Osler was able to just meet and talk with people. He sounds like a great example of someone who can show Christ-like love while still upholding the standards that our Heavenly Father expects us to. The interview helped me to think more about how we serve people in our branch and how to focus on showing that Christ-like love to all. Keep up the great work. I enjoy the Cultural Hall. Robert.
Awesome.
And then another email. You can always email us, contact@theculturalhall.com or the Contact Us tab at theculturalhall.com. By the way, if you want to see that episode, you can find it on iTunes. It's episode 230, Robert Casey. I'm saying that to you, Lindsay. Throw your hands up in the air.
What?
This email from Anonymous. She asked to be anonymous. Oh, she. Darn it.
Son of a...
Hey, thanks for your article about asking to be released. So this is available at theculturalhall.com. I have two callings, but together they are like one big one. My husband has one big calling. I homeschool six kids, and I'm the only one in the ward or stake that does. I'm now expecting, and I am over the age of 40, and it's physically hard on me. I'm so tired all the time. I know homeschooling is part of it, but so are the church callings. My husband and I discussed it, made an appointment to go into the bishop and ask for me to be released from one of the callings and for my husband to be released from his calling. We will explain why and the demands on our time, of course. Hopefully this will make it so we don't even get, or so that we don't get even bigger replacement callings. We've never asked to be released before, but we've considered it so many times. I've had to ask to be released from one of my three callings when being asked to do a third. I really wish there were a policy of releasing before giving a new calling. It would be really nice. Our ward has a custom of giving some people between three and six callings. Which sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
I only have two now because when being called, I asked whether I could be released from at least one of the three callings. Otherwise, I would have the three. Other ward members have asked to be released recently because they told me about it in confidence. As a couple, they had a bishopric calling. The two of them were joint Bear Den leaders, and two of them were co-teachers in primary. They had to ask to be released from some. I do not know why it is thought that it's okay to give people so many callings. I hope the leaders of the church will address these issues soon.
Mm.
Follow up on that, she did end up going in. Bishop said, yeah, no big deal.
I love that she set boundaries for herself and her family. That's really important.
You have to.
Yeah. We're just going to burn ourselves out if we don't do that, and then we're not good for anybody.
Nope.
Like, yeah, I think that's awesome.
I'm sad. I would like to actually, I only teach once a month, and I'd like to teach a little bit more.
Yeah.
I offered it up to be able to teach, and they're like, yeah, we'll have you teach this Sunday, and I'm going to be out of town. And I was like, gospel doctrine. I wanted to teach it.
I teach the nursery. Mm-hmm. So remember how I don't really love kid work?
Yeah.
And then they put me with six kids.
Right in.
I like doing it, though, just because, like, it's fun and easy, right? We just get to go in there and have a snack and a little lesson. And it's good for gospel basics, right? But six, three, 4-year-olds, after I'm with my toddler all day, it's like, church isn't really church for me right now. Right. I get my spirituality in other ways. I have to just like be like, okay.
I get.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You listen to the talks?
The talks?
The talks from General Conference.
Oh, some of them. Sometimes.
Slip it in your ear?
Yeah, every once in a while. Sometimes I listen. I'm not as much a reader as I am a listener, so yeah. I'll listen to the scriptures on audio sometimes.
And some of those books on tape, like about the Savior or about the Prophet Joseph Smith, pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's the emails. I've got a bunch of stories. Let's go here. The Mormons opened its newest cannery, a 45,000-square-foot facility in northern Utah, located in Harrisville, which is just north of Ogden. And they dedicated it. Boom! A new cannery dedicated.
Done.
That's that story. The LDS Church's First Presidency has announced a merger of two of its seven missions in Russia. So if people have been following here in the Culture Halls, we've done the news. They're really cracking down on being able to proselyte and all those things in Russia. So now there is a combination of the Russia Vladivostok. That's exactly how you say it.
Yep.
And it'll be folded into the Russia Novosibirsk mission. According to Saturday's church statement, the change will be effective July the 1st. The LDS Church counts 23,180 members in 103 congregations in the country of Russia. The other five missions are Moscow, that's easy to say.
Right.
St. Petersburg, okay. Samara. Rostov-na-Donu, a little harder, and Yekaterinburg. So there you go.
Yep. Sounds about right.
There's a new volume of the Joseph Smith Papers, which if anyone wants to buy me a birthday gift, because my birthday's coming up in a couple weeks, volume 5 now available. It's October 1835 to January 1838. They're like $100.
Is that a legit gift that you would want, though?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Quote about the new Joseph Smith papers. The title of this article is that it reveals the prophet's humanity. He says, quote, I'm astonished sometimes when I read his journal or the documents, all the various things that he's involved in. He's doing so many things and wearing so many hats. So many callings.
Right.
He was not only prophet, he was also called to be seer and revelator. He's like, can I get released from one of these?
That's a lot of work.
quote, for me, the takeaway is how Joseph is consecrating his life to building up the kingdom, and you can see it vividly in the documents of his volume. So kind of cool if you get a chance to check that out. So much great stuff about the prophet and, those volumes. So much work going into it and so expensive. You know what slackline is?
Yeah, like where you walk on a tightrope thing.
Utah State University has agreed to pay $172,000 to the parents of a student who was killed 4 years ago when he hit a slackline rope that was tied between two trees while he was biking on campus.
Oh, sad.
Lost his head. Not joking.
No, legit?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Poof. Oh.
The university and Eric Anderson's parents who last week declined to disclose the amount paid as part of their legal settlement, citing a confidentiality agreement. The settlement also includes an agreement for the university to caution students about the dangers of using slack lines. Anderson's parents originally sought $2 million in monetary damages. Here's the kicker. The family planning to donate the money to missions that are run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and establish a scholarship in his name.
Oh, that's really nice.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to walk on a slack line, though?
I can't barely walk, to my car.
In real life? Yeah, it's really challenging.
Like, if I get pulled over and they're like, hey, do you mind walking the line? I'm like, just put the cuffs on, okay? I can't do that anyway.
Right.
The Paris France temple is now dedicated. In an area of France famous for its beauty, President Henry B. Eyring dedicated a new temple. It is the
56.
Yeah. Temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I look like such a scholar right now, but I totally read that article before I got here.
The presiding bishop, Elder Gerald Cossé, he's from France, obviously, with a name like Cossé. He's not from Vernal. which is a small town in Utah for people who don't get the punchline. The temple's only a few hundred yards from the remarkable Chateau of Versailles, which was transformed by King Louis XIV and his family into an extravagant complex.
I love France. I have like a weird obsession with
France. Have you been?
France. I've been once in high school, but I have a French minor. Like I studied it all throughout. Yeah. I think I say this every time, but I literally cannot speak a word of it. But I'm like secretly obsessed that I want to go live there and learn the language again, teach it to my daughter.
Your husband can do his job wherever he goes.
Maybe.
Have you had that conversation with him?
That I want to move to France?
Yeah.
No, I haven't brought it up.
Oh. Well, then.
I just decided just now.
Then your resentment breeds inside you and you alone.
All right. Well, there's that.
Honey, listen. I have kept this in for so long.
We should move to France.
And if you drop the spirit card, then he doesn't have a choice.
Right? I was prompted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, babe. Now, your husband in France, he wouldn't stand a chance.
No. Well, and he's getting a new job, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Good job, did Lindsay. Throw your hands up in the ears, husband.
Yep.
Good job. Better job?
Yeah. A little riskier job. It's with a startup company. So
that means it could make a lot of money if it does it, though.
Yeah, if it does well. We'll see.
This, Connor MacArthur, was snowboarding during Christmas break 2016 when he decided to go through the terrain park at Brian Head, which is a ski resort in the southern part of the state of Utah. He decided to go off a jump, one that he'd done multiple times before. He went a little too fast, overshot the landing, and landed on his butt and back, and it hurt pretty bad. So after that, he just laid there for 15 minutes.
Is that a direct quote? It hurt pretty bad?
Yeah. He said, and it hurt pretty bad. MacArthur thought he'd just bruised his back a little and tried to walk about 100 yards down the mountain until he realized he probably wasn't going to get off the mountain himself. He's a senior at Desert Hills High School in St. George. They immediately took him to the doctors, got an x-ray, thought he was going to be okay. Doctor said this is why we sent him to the radiologist. He found out that he had compressed his spine and fractured his L1 and L3 vertebrae.
Yeah, that would hurt real bad.
He was in a brace for a couple of months. The doctors told him that he would not play tennis at all. But after 2 months, they went back to the doctor and they're surprised at how well he had healed. To our family, says his mother, it was a miracle. So take that, Brother Kyle. MacArthur's mother even called his recovery a miraculous thing to witness. From there, MacArthur started to get back into tennis slowly, only missing the first few weeks of practice. James and MacArthur, that is his partner, because they play the doubles, went on to have a great season and even took the region title. So a miraculous story of faith and miracles for you, Brother Kyle, and anyone else who doesn't believe in miracles. You got a story coming up?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to hear about...
Not yet, but I just wanted to make sure you're ready.
Okay.
This from Shannon Hale. She's been here in the Cultural Hall before. Her and her husband, Utah authors, Shannon and Dean Hale, will be taking on a new Ever After High Monster High mashup book series, starting with The Legend of Shadow High. Both middle grade series are based on popular Mattel doll franchises. Monster High was created by Garrett Sander, and its books were authored by Lissy Harrison. The Hales are the authors of the Ever After High book series, and now they're combining it, according to Entertainment Weekly. The Legend of Shadow High is set to release October 17th.
Neato.
Now I'd like to hear a news story.
Oh, okay. Have you heard of Connie Nielsen?
Sister Nielsen, no.
She is actually Sister Nielsen. Okay, she's in that new movie Wonder Woman. I think it comes tomorrow.
I think it's a week from tomorrow.
Oh, a week from tomorrow. Okay. There's a new Wonder Woman movie coming out. She plays Wonder Woman's mom.
Did you ever watch the old Wonder Woman?
No. It was No, it was before my time, kind of.
Reruns.
No, I really haven't seen a single episode of that.
It's great. You'll love it. Especially with your women empowerment thing.
That whole thing. That whole, like, women are equal thing.
Women are part-time.
Whatever. okay, so she was on Jimmy Kimmel. I think it was either last night or the night before. And she dropped this little nugget.
Watched an episode of Wonder Woman starring Linda Carter this weekend on television. And I saw it on the guide. I was like, that's what I'm watching now.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you never saw it?
No, I grew up in Denmark. There was just absolutely nothing there. I mean, I grew up as a Mormon in Denmark.
Oh, wow.
Pop culture was absolutely not on the menu.
You didn't have television there?
Well, yeah, but... Danish television at the time was kind of, you know, showing, you know, it had one channel, and then we could, you know, maybe sometime on good days we could get the Swedish channel as well, and the Danish channel would usually...
Anyway, she goes on to describe the TV, but she dropped that little nugget that she was raised Mormon.
Look at that.
And then she takes a little dig on Mormon culture and how we don't know anything about pop culture.
We don't watch TVs.
No.
That's not the Mormon I was, but I guess...
we don't have TV.
Danish Mormons.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I thought that was interesting. And then she talked about how she has a lot of kids, too.
So, and she plays, you said, Wonder Woman's mom
in that new Wonder Woman movie that's coming out. She's gorgeous, beautiful.
Yeah, well, you have to be Wonder Woman's mom.
Yeah.
Because she's from the Amazon.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is.
Is
that's
she?
Where her powers, yeah.
Okay, all right.
She's one of the leader of, she's amazing.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Okay.
Take your daughter.
I should. Female empowerment, man.
Yeah. Starting young.
Right.
You want a list?
Bring it on. I love
10
lists.
10 things to know about millennial Mormons.
I know other people don't like lists, but I enjoy lists.
Nobody else likes lists. Number one. I hate these kind of things, by the way.
I love these.
I like lists in general, but I hate these kind of things. Listen, 10 things to know about millennial Mormons. One, they were born between the ages of 1980 and 1998. They're the youngest generation of adult Mormons, so they're millennials.
Okay.
So it has nothing specific.
1980 to 1998.
So
yeah, that's
me. I'm an X to millennial.
Okay. Well, and I'm a millennial. I'm in that group.
Yeah.
But I'm an older millennial.
8 in 10 of millennial Mormons are white. More than half of Mormon millennials are married, 53%, compared to 65% of Mormons as a whole. So far, they're not delaying marriage like many other millennials. So we're still keeping the statistic of getting married.
Mm.
Number four, they grew up with fewer siblings. 32% of LDS millennials grew up in families of one or two children, while just 22% of older Mormons did. Mormons' ideal family size is also getting smaller.
Mm.
Number five, 9 in 10 LDS millennials believe in God, and 82% feel God's presence at least once a week.
That's a good number.
Number six, nearly 3/4 of millennials feel it's okay to sometimes refuse a church calling. 75%.
Is that
I don't
like,
think you would have found that in older generations.
Really?
Of the church. Okay. My dad, for example, will not.
Right.
Absolutely will not.
Hmm.
That person is called and inspired. And
he believes
and
that
I'll
you just
figure,
take it.
I'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's been tough. He in the bishopric for the YSA ward that he's in, you know, he didn't have the internet in his house.
Right.
And he had never text messaged before. And they're like, listen, this is how people talk. So you're going to have to learn Facebook and learn how to text message. And he's like, people, it's so funny because he still talks about it like this. And he's not old, right? He's just older. You know, kids in the YSA ward, they don't answer your phone call. But you can text. They'll text you right back.
Yep.
Immediately. But I can call right after I text. Won't pick up.
Right.
Number seven, they tithe. 7 in 10 millennials pay a full tithing. But many pay it on the net income, which is less common among older Mormons.
Hmm.
So older folks will pay on the gross. Us younger folks will be like, listen, I'll pay tithing, but I'm doing it on the net.
On the net, right? Yep.
You a net or gross?
Just by default, I'm a net.
Yeah.
Because I don't take the time to go in and look at the gross. I just do from the paycheck.
From what the paycheck is.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you tithe the tax refund? Do you get a tax refund?
Only if I haven't paid on it. Going
already.
Forward, right? If I paid...
Because if you're doing it net, then you haven't paid on the taxes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't thought through the logistics of that.
I love that fight, by the way, in church when people get into that.
Yeah.
Net. It's gross. It's net.
How about you just do what you believe?
Yeah.
Works for you.
And maybe...
And
you know,
feel good about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do it. And
yeah.
Do that all the time.
And do it and feel good about it.
They like to talk about their faith. 2/3 of millennials share their views on God at least once a week, the highest of any Mormon generation.
Hmm.
Interesting. Many ignore General Conference.
Interesting.
While 66% of Mormons over the age of 52 had seen General Conference in the last 6 months, only 44% of millennials had. And number 10, they're politically balanced. While older Mormons skew heavily Republican, millennials are 46 Republican, 46% Republican, 41% Democratic, and 13% Independent.
Interesting. I also read an article recently on the gap within the millennial group, because those ages you read, right, are from 80 to 95. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that happened socially, politically, sure. Like Facebook, internet, like that happened between when I was born and a 95-er. Like sure. There's a big difference in some of those millennials.
Yeah, the newer ones are entitled. Hate them.
Right? No. Richie, you can send all mail to Richie at theculturalhall.com.
Yeah, contact at theculturalhall.com.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can send it to Richie at theculturalhall.com, but I won't get it. another quick round of stories. We've mentioned this guy before, Will Hopoete, or Hopot. He is a rugby player, and he went on a mission in 2013 or 2014. Got back, said, listen, I'll play for your team, but I'm not going to play on Sundays. His contract's about up, and he's like, eh, you know what? I'll play on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So as he goes to engage in a new contract and perhaps with a new team, he said, I'll play on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting
to
thing.
Each change
their
of own.
Heart.
Yep.
Maybe wanted the job, maybe recognizes money and could do good. Mm-hmm. You don't know. The Salt Lake Tabernacle, Oregon. I loved when I posted this one. If you're not following the Cultural Hall on Facebook, you need to. I think I posted it and called it something like a huge celebration for a 150-year-old organ. And it made me laugh.
Why is that so funny? I don't get it.
Like an organ. Like maybe there's some dirty connotation.
Oh, like an
like
organ.
A heart or
something like that, a kidney. Or,
like, yeah,
oh,
we're celebrating
kind of organ.
The organ.
Right. Got 150-year-old
organ.
Got it.
That's it. On October 6, 1867, the newly constructed pipe organ made its debut in the General Conference. So that organ that you see in the tabernacle, 150 years old.
Wow. That's cool.
This, just earlier this week, President Thomas S. Monson, our prophet, our seer and revelator, he should ask to be released from one of his
callings. He's got a pretty intense calling.
He's busy. He's 89 years old, and they announced that he will no longer be coming to meetings at church offices regularly because of limitations related to his age. The news that Monson is scaling back his duties marks the latest sign that his health is slowly deteriorating, of course. He was hospitalized in early April after he reported not feeling well, and then released a few days later after receiving treatment and fluids. The church did not offer any more details. In October 2016, church officials said Monson was, quote, feeling the effects of advancing age, but still coming up to the office every day. He no longer will do that.
Mm.
I think it's interesting, too, because it's Elder Nelson that's in line next, right? And I can do a quick search here real quick, because I got a computer in front of me. Why don't you do a story, and I'll come with this. But Elder Nelson is... Elder Nelson, let's do this one. Elder Nelson is older by a few years than President Monson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go ahead and do that article, and then I'll find this.
Okay, the church releases a statement following the Manchester Arena bombing.
The bombing outside Ariana Grande concert, if people don't know about that.
Yeah, the bombing took place Monday night near the end of an Ariana Grande concert. It killed 22 people and injured dozens more, some of whom were under the age of 16, according to the New York Times. In a statement... Europe Area President Elder Patrick Kieran expressed condolences on behalf of the church for those affected by the bombings. He said, our hearts are filled with sorrow as we hear the devastating violence in Manchester, where young people and their parents gather to enjoy an evening of music and entertainment. Our thoughts and prayers reach out to those who are suffering as a result of these tragic events. May the love of God and of decent people demonstrated by spontaneous acts of kindness towards victims heal hearts and provide comfort.
So the next one is Elder Nelson. I was right. Russell M. Nelson, who... When you hear him talk at General Conference, he seems super spry and young.
Yeah.
He'll be 93 in September.
Wow. Yeah, he is older, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That kind of stuff, I don't know, sort of fascinates me.
How old they are?
It's just the countdown till Bednar, right?
I know. I'm looking forward to Uchtdorf, frankly. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you got a few people between Monson and Uchtdorf. This is interesting. So we shared this a while back, but there's a guy, completely just a statistician, that talks about like the percentage chances that, you know, each of the brethren, whether or not they'll be prophet, right? And people were like, this isn't how it works. God picks who it. And it's like, listen, I'm doing an estimated life expectancy and where they're at in succession and where they could be. So it's President Monson right now. President Nelson would be next because he's the president of Quorum of the 12. And then it's Elder Oaks, Elder Ballard, Elder Hales, Elder Holland, Elder Eyring, Elder Uchtdorf. So Uchtdorf
is way down there.
I mean, he's way down. But then after Uchtdorf, it's Bednar.
Right.
So there's like 15 years. Because I want to say Uchtdorf is, let me do some quick math. He is 77.
Okay.
And then you got your Elder Bednar, who is 65. So,
well, depending on how long the one before them is alive, there's going to be a lot of years in between now
could be.
And
be, right? But it's interesting. And, you know, people get sick and there's all sorts of things. And I don't want to go morbid down that train.
Right.
But, it's countdown to Bednar. People don't like it when I say that.
I've never
but
heard that before.
Remember when Elder Bednar first spoke, his very first talk at the Tender Mercies, and we make jokes about that. It was an incredible talk.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh my gosh, I love this guy.
Yeah.
A Prophet Holland would be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Right? Just laying it down every single time.
General conference.
I'd love it.
I'd love whoever the Lord qualifies and calls.
That's also true.
Do you ever watch The Ellen Show?
Yeah, sometimes. Because I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm home during the afternoon.
I watch it part-time because I'm a part-time mom.
I'm a part-time mom.
They did the big Mother's Day special, and Allison Hill was able to attend that episode. She's a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She said it was surreal. Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer were the guests that day because of that movie that came out.
Right, right.
From the second it started, it was actually emotional. I cried the entire time. I couldn't believe her generosity. And I also had no idea how much it costs to have a baby because she's having a baby.
Mm.
Hill, she's 5 months pregnant, won nearly $6,500 worth in prizes. She won a year's supply of Huggies diapers and wipes, as well as Plum Organics baby food. She and her husband also won a trip to Palm Springs. There was a crib mattress, a stroller, a self-installing car seat, and a Kate Spade bag. Not to mention the Home Depot gift cards, Carter's, and Amazon gift cards as well.
That's so awesome. That's like all the things you need for baby.
She didn't think that she was going to be on the show, right? Hoped to be on. She thought she'd lost her chance. Then she checked her spam folder.
What?
There was her invitation right there. It didn't feel real.
You mean the spirit prompted her to check her spam
folder.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Allison Hill on the Mother's Day celebration.
That's so
Ellen
epic.
DeGeneres Show.
That's so epic.
What other news stories do you have? Do you have another one?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
But you can give me whatever you want.
Before his death in February, 12-year-old Jackson Lewis wrote notes and cards to his mom, Kaylee. Those keepsakes were taken from Kaylee's car in a burglary last week.
Mm.
Jackson, who was a beloved member of his boys' basketball team, died in a snowmobiling accident near Mill Hollow. Kaylee said he kept Jackson's notes and cards close to her, and she'd been looking at them in each day. But when she returned from a hike on a trail near a sandy road, which is here in Salt Lake, she discovered someone had opened her car and taken several items, including the purse, which had the sweet mementos from her son. How does this pertain to it? She's Mormon.
Right.
Police recovered an 800-pound statue of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. So I teased this story earlier. It's young Joseph Smith and young Brigham Young sitting on a park bench. And it's like, okay, first of all, there weren't park benches. And second of all, they both weren't young together.
And also, where was the statue going? Like, where was it set to be placed? Do you know?
Was
it like church sanctioned?
I think it was already at a place like it. That was its place of rest.
Oh.
I don't know that it was being built. I'm not sure. The address, which is 825 North 300 West in downtown Salt Lake, they pulled up a trailer just before 4 a.m. The statue valued at $125,000. It was planned to be sent to Nauvoo.
Oh, that's what it was. So it was like being built at like a warehouse.
So someone came up and grabbed it. They had to hustle because they thought it was going to be sold, cut down and sold for scrap metal.
Right.
Which at that point, I found out, would have been like $1,500.
Which isn't even that much.
No, but $125,000. And if you steal it, you're not having to pay $1,500 for it.
Right.
You just steal it. You get $1,500. That's
no, but $1,500. There were like four of them that stole it, right?
Yeah, so you get like $400 a piece.
That's not worth it. No, that's not even that much money.
No, stealing a statue at all isn't worth
that's
it.
That's true. But
I love the justification. I mean, for like $25,000, I totally would.
Well, I mean, I'm not a stealer, but if you're of the stealer mindset, then at least make it worth it.
Like if you're from Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Got it. Got it.
So clever and quick. He just pulled that out from nowhere. Geez, so many stories. Maybe we'll take a break and I'll try and record another one in the next few days.
You should do that because I got pizza waiting for me at home.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yep.
I'm standing in the way from you and pizza?
Uh-huh. I just got a Snapchat from my husband.
Oh, husband's like, look at this.
Drooling. No. Drooling emoji.
Let's do these two then, and then I'll save the rest of these for other upcoming Articles of News episode. Are you ready for this?
Bring it on.
Do you want, victims want LDS Church to return ill-gotten tithing money, or do you want Mormon political royalty run in Colorado? Which one would you like first? I'll do both of them.
Let's do political royalty.
First?
Sure.
Deseret News readers were introduced last month to the Coloradan gubernatorial candidate Doug Robinson, who's a father of five, a successful Republican businessman, and...
Mormon
and...
Bishop.
The nephew of Governor Mitt Romney.
Oh.
Few, however, are familiar with Levi Tilleman, a scion from yet another of Mormondom's most fascinating political families, who announced this week that he's vying for Colorado's 6th congressional district. A wunderkind clean energy consultant, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so running for the governor of Colorado.
Is a Mormon.
Is a Mormon guy.
Cool.
Now this, and I think that this is interesting. Interesting for a couple of reasons. Because one, of course the church would give the money back. And two, what a clickbaity title. The title, Victims Want LDS Church to Return Ill-Gotten Tithing Money. Harry Segura can't understand why the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints won't return tithing money given by a man who is in jail for stealing millions of dollars from him and from thousands of others. I'm disappointed that they won't do the right thing, said Segura, who's a member of the LDS Church. Curtis DeYoung is serving a 10-year prison term for misappropriating, get this, $22 million from his clients. Thousands of clients lost their savings, including Segura, who said he looked forward to retirement and traveling with his wife. Instead, DeYoung and his wife, Michelle, lived it up on his dime. They traveled, nothing but the best. Michelle DeYoung would gush about how you have to fly first class and stay in the nicest resorts. Court documents allege that DeYoungs gave $239,775 to the LDS Church, calling them fraudulent transfers. So here's the thing that I also think is sort of a kick. Here are people that are bilking members of the church and just people in general.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, but we have to pay our tithing.
Because they checked the box, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it really is the mentality of, like, listen, we are entitled to this, but God, I mean, we wouldn't be able to be entitled to this without God's help, so we'll give him 10%. The Securities and Exchange Commission is attempting to recover the tithing money and transfer it to a court-appointed receiver on behalf of the victims. Now, here you go. There's where the church weighs in. Eric Hawkins, spokesman for the church, said the church does not seek to profit from ill-gotten gains. He said when the church is asked to return tithing funds, then there's a process. In this case, he said there was a request to return tithing money from a family member who is not convicted of a crime, and that complicates the process. The church has cooperated fully in the negotiation of a settlement which has been reached and which we anticipate will be made public shortly. The amount of the settlement is unknown. Segura said he finds it laughable that a thief would pay tithing.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, why would you pay tithing?
He said by the time tithing money makes its way back to the victims, it will amount to a few dollars per victim. He didn't want the LDS Church to return the money because it would make victims whole again. He wants them to return it because it's a matter of principle. And they are. They just have to go through the process.
Right.
I am so mad. Clickbait. Clickbait.
You clicked on it, though.
Of course.
That's a fascinating story.
That's what Articles of News is.
Right.
A series of clickbait stories and lists.
and people who do things who are Mormon.
Right. And he's Mormon.
And she's Mormon.
Connie, man, she used to be Mormon.
Yeah.
Wait. If you are not following the Cultural Hall on all of the social medias, we just don't do Snapchat. That's the only thing. But at the Cultural Hall on Pinterest, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, theculturalhall.com. Check that out. We just passed 1,500,000 downloads. What? Are you kidding me?
What?
Go and subscribe. If you're not, leave a review if you would. Let us know what you think. We're better at it now. You're getting numbered episodes again, so enjoy those, okay, pal?
You betcha.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you will, in fact, be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.